I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Dr. Grace Gawler, has been involved with teaching cancer survival strategies for more than 39 years. Trained as a herbalist, naturopath, with an early background working in veterinarian medicine with her ex-husband, who became a cancer patient in 1974. Over the years, Grace became a pro-life cancer recovery strategist and trained in body psychotherapy with Ilana Rubenfeld in the United States. She co-founded Australia's first cancer support groups and residential courses and has worked throughout the world in the area of cancer as a public and keynote speaker and workshop facilitator. She has chosen to emphasize the emotional, psycho, spiritual aspects of cancer recovery and management at all stages. Grace learned a great deal when in 1997, unexpected post-surgical complications from a routine surgery left her with colon paralysis. After 21 surgeries geared at keeping her alive, Grace eventually found her solution, an experimental bionic sacroneuromodulation implant performed in Holland. The procedure was a first for this condition. Grace had her life back, knowing what it is like to be in the shoes of a patient with a life-threatening condition. She wrote her memoirs, Grace, Grit, and Gratitude, in 2008 to celebrate her survival. As founder and director of the Grace Gawler Institute, Grace can now help patients find integrated cancer solutions. She helps patients to transform the challenge, fear, and myriad of emotional issues surrounding cancer into becoming a successful patient. She works in conjunction with medical oncology and integrated oncology clinics in Australia and Europe, assisting patients with fully supported Meditours to Holwang Private Oncology Clinic in Germany's Black Forest. You can listen to Grace's U.S.-based free-to-air internet radio show, Navigating the Cancer Maze, on Voice America's Health and Wellness channel. More information is available at GermanCancerTreatments.com or GraceGawlerInstitute.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Gawler, and I look forward to hearing about your work with cancer patients in Germany and about the Gawler Institute. Now first, how did you get involved with cancer work?
Well, it goes way, way back. Actually, I've always had an interest in cancer, even as a child of around 8 years old. And we had a chap on TV back in Australia, and his name was Professor Julius Sumner Miller. He may be familiar to you as well. And he had a program called Why Is It So? And that really tweaked my interest in science and medicine, physics, chemistry, and that really became a part of my passion. As I grew up, I was going to be doing veterinary science. I worked in a practice with a veterinary surgeon who developed cancer. And then we set about on a journey of helping him through, and he had his right leg amputated with osteogenic sarcoma. Concurrently, he also developed TB, and he was a very, very sick man indeed. And we went through several years in his own recovery and learned a lot. And, Carl, we found out that there wasn't actually a lot available back then. We're talking about 1974. So it was right at sort of the vanguard, really, of when all of these mind-body approaches and alternative complementary approaches to cancer was really coming forward. So when he was through his experience and recovered, we decided that we would start a support group system, and indeed we started Australia's first cancer support group movement, which was like a 12-week program that we put people through where they were able to really access a lot of information about psycho-oncology, about relaxation, stress reduction, and things that they could contribute to their own recovery. Those programs were very successful, and we went on to create a much larger center. And my interest really went into working with women with breast cancer more than anything. And I wrote my first book then, Women of Silence, The Emotional Healing of Breast Cancer, because there wasn't a lot around on what someone could do to heal the more psychological, emotional, spiritual aspects of their illness. And that's actually maintained as my interest and the best way, I believe now, that I can actually help people who are trying to navigate the cancer maze.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because I was diagnosed in 1974, and my doctor gave me all of the physical things to do, the Laetril, the pancreatic enzymes, the high dose of vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin C, the digestive enzymes, the diet, etc. But he didn't mention mental and spiritual, and I believe in a holistic approach like you do. So I added prayer, meditation, visualization, affirmations, strengthening my patience, my forgiveness, trying to be a better person, trying to serve others, etc. All of the spiritual, mental things that you were also working on back in 1974. Isn't this interesting?
It is interesting. And you don't, you're not the first person that I've heard actually say that in the 1970s they also had this awakening that something needed to happen in medicine that included the person. And I think this was, in fact, the beginning of what we call personalized and supportive care medicine for cancer patients.
What were your early conclusions about working with cancer patients?
Well, early conclusions were actually very, very interesting. We have today, here we are now in 2013, and we have many, many people from our first cancer support groups actually still alive and well. And some of these people were doing, you know, conventional cancer therapies, but actually had quite poor prognosis. And what we noticed was when we added in, and this is a real value add, when we added in the material such as you've been talking about, the stress reduction, meditation, relaxation, imagery, refining your passion, all of those things, we found that people had unexpected remissions. And that was really a bit of fuel for the fire, because it really meant that, yes, we are all these cells and so forth that can be treated, but our own contribution, a person's own contribution to their recovery, I think is really paramount to the outcome. And if someone doesn't have an option for recovery or chooses not to, we have the other things that, that are available that can only value add to a life.
That's great. I also think that people need to contribute to their own healing, and also many of these things help with your optimism. And I think optimism and faith are two of the most important components of recovery.
I believe so too, and I think that the hope factor is really important for cancer patients. I see so many people that are dispirited because their hope's taken away. And we in Australia call that bone pointing, because it's something that happens in our indigenous societies traditionally, where if someone's done something in the society that's not so good, they have a bone pointed at them, and they go away to die, basically. And we see that this characteristic is actually carried on quite often in medicine, where people are given an unnecessary or a very harsh kind of prognosis. And that really can take people's spirit and hope away, and it takes quite a long time to bring that back. One of the things that I've found has helped a lot with that, just out of interest, is Carol Hirschberg. I don't know if that name's familiar to you. She, yeah, she authored Spontaneous Remission. I met Carol on the lecture circuit in the UK and Holland some years ago, and we've just reconnected again. And I think her book is fantastic. It's now available online. And if I had people coming in who were hopeless, helpless, I'd often just get out Carol and Brendan O'Regan's book. I'd flick through and say, look, someone has actually recovered from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be you. Someone's done it. It only needs to be done once. It shows it can be done. You know, you just may be able to recover. And that turns the whole situation around.
Right, right, right. Now, Dr. Gawler, you've worked for almost 40 years serving cancer patients. What makes you tick? And I understand the feeling, but why are you at your desk at 3 in the morning?
Yeah, I'm fortunate I've never been a person who's needed a lot of sleep. So I'm also driven by passion, I think. I'm not driven by adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very
mm-hmm.
passionate about this work. And what makes me tick is, I suppose the best way of explaining it is human suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's nothing like a diagnosis of cancer to ripple through a family and create a lot of suffering and a lot of grief for people
mm-hmm.
with the loss
mm-hmm.
of a loved one. And then there's all the things that go with having the diagnosis of cancer. You know, the loss of your self-image, a loss of sexuality for some people. You become this other person throughout the process. And I think that's really given me the impetus, because I do have an empathy and compassion with people and feel like that's basically my mission. I feel like that's why I have a life. And indeed, in 1997, I had my own experience, not as a cancer patient,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but as a patient. And I had a hysterectomy that had very nasty, unexpected complications
oh.
and finished up with a paralyzed colon,
mm-hmm.
paralyzed bladder, and quite a bit of paralysis throughout my pelvic region. And
mm-hmm.
that set me on my own journey. And there's nothing like, as you're aware, wearing the shoes of the patient
right.
To really get another look, another direction look from that far-off place. And I think that really helps us develop more empathy and more compassion. And that actually, that experience, I finished up having a bionic colon,
mm-hmm.
which was done in Rotterdam, was an experiment. It was successful
mm-hmm.
in 2002, 2003. And when I came through that, I really had the deep understanding of what it was like. I've had 21 surgeries over a 13-year mm-hmm. period. And now, actually, my colon runs on about 5 volts.
Oh.
So it was a very transforming and very
mm-hmm.
enlightening experience. And I chose to use that experience to the best advantage, and it spurred me on to help other people even more.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that you're okay now, because you're doing some wonderful work. And I look back at my own experience, and I have a similar reaction or a similar response to why it happened. A friend asked me recently, why do you think you had lung cancer? And without thinking, I said, so I can help other people now. You know, because what better thing can you do for people than to say, well, the doctor told me I had 6 months to live, and that was 38 years ago, and I'm still here. So let's forget about what the doctor says. 6 months to live is a God diagnosis, not a medical diagnosis, and only God knows when we're going to die. And we have some control over it by what we do with our own bodies. And then I'm able to help, you know, refer to resources that are available for whatever type of care they want, and I can supplement with some of the mental spiritual activities. So, like you, I think that it was a very positive experience to have gone through this, because now I better understand what other people are going through and what they need when they're going through it. So, I think that...
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. I think it really causes the element of service and empathy and compassion and humanity. And that's one of the gifts, I think, that eventually does come through
mm-hmm.
having a life-challenging situation or illness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Gawler, you say on your website, when cancer medicine is personalized, best outcomes are maximized. And what does personalized medicine mean to you?
Personalized medicine, Carl, it means really putting the person, the patient, at the center of the treatment. I see a lot of things around these days advertising personalized medicine conference, and all they're doing is looking at molecules and markers and phenotypes and so forth. But I think we need to be careful in the definition, because I think personalized medicine recognizes the person holistically, that's a word that's often bandied about, but we need to look at what's happening physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually and energetically. And I think when we can do that with a patient, it's like putting together the jigsaw puzzle for their recovery and their healing. There's been a jigsaw puzzle that has been for their, on the walkway, if you like, of coming into their illness. And that jigsaw puzzle might be a little disjointed, and they might not be very happy with some of the pieces in the puzzle. I think personalized medicine gives opportunities for people to put together a new life, a new puzzle. As we said before, it's a transformative process. And this personalized approach, I think, was birthed back in the 70s, as I said before. It's now becoming more and more into the forefront, and I think it's going to really reach the crescendo point because patients are demanding it. I think people have looked at, alternative, complementary, conventional, and everything in between. And I think what we need to do in the personalized medicine is get the best options for the person on all of those levels.
Right.
So I see it a little bit holographic in healing rather than perhaps, as it's been over many years, a more linear way of healing.
Great. Now, would you tell us about the Grace Galler Institute, and what are your plans in future years for the Institute?
Okay, the Grace Galler Institute was actually the second major charitable organization that I've had. It was actually born out of the generosity of a patient after I had returned from overseas and was starting again with my new life. A very generous patient came forward and she said, "Look, I have this organization, I'm wanting to turn it over to someone. I'd like to give it to you in respect of the work that you're doing." So it had enabled me to begin again after this long sort of 13-year period that I'd had. Going in and out of my work, really. I would have a colostomy here and an ileostomy there and a bit more bowel resected here and there. And it meant that I could really find this vehicle for helping patients. So we do a lot of work for no charge for families and children. We get donations to do that. We have small fee for service. And we've just recently, in the last couple of years, been assisting patients to travel to Germany on our Cancer Patients Without Borders trips, where people have run out of options in Australia or in other countries, and we escort them here to Germany in a full support program to a private little clinic in the Black Forest that uses a lot of botanical medicine, homeopathic medicines, as well as immunological therapies. And we feel that that's been a very good addition to our services. And in the future, we're going to be doing a lot of writing and research on these patients to actually record what has happened to them and do that publication through some mainstream journals. I think the other thing too, Carl, is we're really big in education and awareness as a part of our service. So many people are very frightened of a cancer diagnosis that they leave their diagnosis too late. And I think, you know, there's been a word, a sentence that's been around, that cancer is a word and not a sentence. But in fact, there's not a lot of people that actually believe that. So we think that, you know, earlier diagnosis, people can have less treatments and perhaps much more botanically based treatments and immunologically based treatments if they're diagnosed early and can deal with the fear of cancer.
Can you tell us a bit more about the diagnostic program and the treatment program? We were talking earlier about the sensitivity testing.
The clinic where we're consulting to, working with in the Black Forest, use a Greek laboratory. It's RGCC in Greece, Now, they have a chemosensitivity test. They can also identify many, many of the phenotypes that are involved, the growth factors that are involved with the tumour. But really interestingly also added onto that is that when they do their circulating tumour cell count and they're looking for the ones with stem cell-like qualities, mm-hmm. they can actually look at substances like Laetrile, mm-hmm. B17, DCA, they can look at naltrexone, they can look at vitamin D, genistein, artemisinin, and about 50 different substances, mm-hmm. they can actually test against your own tumour cells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really a first because I have never had access to anything like this in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now able to better target for the person. And I think this is why there's so many remedies around that where people say, you know, oh, I cured myself with this. Mm-hmm. But then when it's tested, it doesn't seem to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think this test is going to be a real forerunner for not only targeting antibodies and chemosensitivity, but for looking at how we can best prescribe and use these natural substances in a way of personalized cancer medicine.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand right then, if you had the vitamin B17 antibody that was picked up in the testing, then this would be a successful treatment for you, whereas it might not be for someone who did not have that picked up in their testing. Is that correct? Yeah. That's great.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's quite mind-boggling. The laboratory also can harvest the circulating tumour cells with stem cell-like qualities. In other words, the ones that have the ability to reproduce themselves, and, mm-hmm. and they're the ones that create metastatic or secondary cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a way now of harvesting those from 20 mils of blood and from using those in the laboratory to give a lot of information about your particular cancer. And, you know, you asked me about personalized medicine
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
This aspect is also there because we're not only looking at mind, body, emotion, spirit, energy, we're looking at molecular and what damage is actually done to the DNA
mm-hmm.
and how can these substances actually help the repair mechanism.
Mm-hmm. How long does it usually take to get the results back?
Not very long, actually. From the clinic here, it's usually somewhere between 8 and 10 days.
Oh, really?
It depends where in the world
mm-hmm.
people are for that test. But there's a process that you can go through. You can find them on the website at RGCC. There's a number of people I know in the USA who are now offering the service and the test. And it may be a little expensive for some people, but if you think what you might spend on a lot of things where you're not quite sure whether they're really, you know, is it mm-hmm. worthwhile spending mm-hmm. that much money on something, to be able to target it to this degree, I think is very economically sound,
mm-hmm.
and it also obviously helps with the tumour as well.
Mm-hmm. On your website, you mentioned MediTours.
Mm.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the MediTour, Carl, is the Cancer Patients Without Borders tour.
Oh,
we get inquiries from mm-hmm. all over the world of people saying, I really don't know what to do, I've been given up, I've been given a prognosis that says I'm going to die in 6 or 8 weeks. Is there a place? Is there something that I can do? Is there somewhere where I can be guided? And we guide people to, well, other places as well, not only here, but this is one of the clinics that we actually work quite closely with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we escort those people to the clinic, and we actually involve them in quite an intensive daily psycho-oncology program. We attend the oncology appointments with them. We make sure they understand that there's no confusion with German language intonation, write up reports, contact their oncologists back home, contact their family who are waiting for them to get
mm-hmm.
news.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everything we do in that package. And we are getting some tremendously good results with this, even holistic, I'll call it a holographic package,
mm-hmm.
where they're getting the best of both worlds with an emphasis on immunology and excellent botanical medicines.
Mm-hmm. We talked briefly about Dr. Herzog, And do you interact with him in your role?
In fact, I have referred patients to Germany, mainly Germany and other places, for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been in this formal way, mm-hmm. but, you know, having patients come who have no options. So, yes, I have worked quite closely with Professor Herzog in the past. I've mm-hmm. sent many, many patients over years to him. He has his own style of doing things. He probably uses more, perhaps some more chemotherapy and less of the botanicals than mm-hmm. some of the other mm-hmm. clinics. Mm-hmm. So it's very much an option, but he is an expert at oncothermia and mm-hmm. Hypothermia, which is one of the treatments offered mm-hmm. pretty widely now throughout Germany.
I was disappointed when I spoke with him in Florida at the Annie Appleseed Conference that he uses chemotherapy in combination with the hyperthermia instead of one of the more natural things, which I thought probably would work, but, you know, he did not think so, so...
It's really very difficult, Carl, to get statistics on many of the clinics to know what's working best and how it's working. Mm-hmm. It's one of the challenges that we have actually had in coming here, and it's why we've decided that we will get someone to do the research because it is needed. Mm-hmm. A lot of patients have got very bad vibes, if you like, around chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. They're very scared of it.
Right.
They've seen a lot of people in the past, especially in the earlier days, you know, 60s and 70s, when it was fairly barbaric. And they've seen, you know, very ill aunties, uncles, parents die. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very potent image for people to hold in their mind. And I know so many patients that I've dealt with, and I've dealt with about 15,000 patients mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. In my nearly 40 years of this work. And so many patients say, I've seen my mother die like this, I've seen my uncle die. I've always said there's no way if I got cancer, I'd never have chemotherapy.
Right.
I think chemotherapy is going to be phased out, and I hope I'm going to see mostly that in my lifetime. The takeover seems to be the more immunologically based mm-hmm. treatments, mm-hmm. Antibodies, and in particular in Germany, they have a thing called a trifunctional antibody, which not only does the work of a single monoclonal antibody, but it actually recruits the T cells mm-hmm. to come in as well and gives a huge immunological response. Mm. And they have antibodies here for lymphoma, for melanoma, for breast cancer specifically, and ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these are the new wave where we're not going to have these really toxic substances, but treatments that are going to stimulate the patient's immune system and treatments that are going to also make available to the immune system by taking the coatings off cancer cells that can also fool mm-hmm. the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think along with botanical medicines that are applied, you know, time-proven things here in Germany, we're going to see a big revolution mm-hmm. in the way that personalized medicine is practiced for mm-hmm. cancer patients.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Gawler, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your books and services and products and how listeners can reach you?
Okay, well, listeners can best find me. We have... Actually, we have three main websites. We have Prostate Mates, which mm-hmm. is very Australian, prostatemates.com. That's very much an informational website for anyone who's dealing with prostate cancer. We have our institute website, which is www.gawler.com. And we have our German Cancer Treatments site, and that's German Cancer Treatments, with an S, all one word, mm-hmm. .com. And that's a tremendous resource for anybody who's thinking of making the overseas trip for pursuing their recovery if they can't get assistance in their home country.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've written a lot of books. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of those?
Yeah, that would be good. My first book, Carl, was actually written in 1994, we mentioned it briefly before. It was called Women of Silence, The Emotional Healing of Breast Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written based on the residential programs and the cancer support groups that I was running mm-hmm. Back in those days. There were a number of things that really came to the forefront that showed that this particular group of women in these groups had very specific needs. They had very specific gender needs. And these were, back then, things that were not really being addressed. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, all these years on from 1994, in many places they're still not addressed. And this is the sort of work that both you and I are doing, in more looking at the emotion, the psychology, you know, the spiritual energy of the person. And I was really compelled to write that book, and did so. It became a bestseller of its type.
Great.
It's now available as an e-book. Amazingly, a lot of the oncologists that I knew in the UK at the time were very excited about it, and they said, well, this is the work that we can't do. And they were prepared to actually endorse the book. So that was really very helpful. And it's still around in hard copy. Sometimes you can pick one up on Amazon secondhand, but the e-book version is really, I think, very helpful. And it is, I think it remains, to my understanding, the still the only book specifically written for emotional recovery and, you know, looking at the shadows, naming the names, and helping people really find their journey through a number of options in that book. My other main publications, I have Survivor's Secrets for Women, which is also in an e-book, and that's really based on the 15,000 people that I've worked with over the years, whether they've been breast cancer patients or other patients. And I've given them pretty detailed questionnaires over the years to ask them what they felt was the most important thing in their recovery. It's been really interesting because they've highlighted a lot of those emotional, psychological, spiritual, regaining a passion kind of comments, getting in touch with humour, not forgetting about that. And I carefully noted down all of these, and I've put them into one little e-book, which it's $4.95 in Australia. So that's the other thing. We try and keep our resources and products are very, very reachable and not expensive when they're taken as e-books. A Helping Hand is another one, which really looks at my three stages of healing model. The first stage is when you're diagnosed and you panic quite often and people run around doing a lot of things. It's often based on fear. And we look at the next stages of that, which is more, for instance, a will to live, a will to heal, and then a will to know your purpose. And that model is very helpful for people to find out where they are on the bridge between those different qualities, or whether they're finding that they're quite at peace with their cancer situation and they're almost living their life as a martial art. And that's a really wonderful thing too. And that's just a little 30-page handbook that is available. The last main publication for me at the moment is my memoirs. And these were published in 2008. And they're really published as a little bit of a celebration of my life, getting my life back and being able to fully function again within my work. And I've often told people over the years, you know, if you want to write your life story, you know, no one has to see it, no one has to have it published, but it's a very, very good therapeutic tool. And I found for myself, indeed, it was. Many people read the manuscript of mine and said, you must publish this. So that's what I've done. And that talks about that early journey. I was 21 when I was kind of thrown into the full-time carer position of a person who'd had a leg amputated with cancer and a bad prognosis. And it takes right through to current time.
Great.
That's available as ebook as well.
The other thing I wanted to mention is you're on LinkedIn. That's how I met you.
Yes, indeed.
And do you want to tell us where you are? And are you on Facebook also?
I'm on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on About Me, which is another very good avenue for social media. Just put in Grace Gawler, G-A-W-L-E-R. Still trying to learn a lot of the things that go around Facebook and social media, you're doing my best. Mm-hmm. But I do have a German Cancer Treatments page on Facebook, and I also have a Grace Gawler Institute, a personal one on Facebook.
Great.
And I put various articles and, you know, the latest news. I have a newsletter as well, which goes out from the website, so people can join up for free.
Mm-hmm.
There's a regular newsletter that tells you about German Cancer Treatments and also about the Grace Gawler Institute. And I have a blog which seems is very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And the blog is just called gracegawlermedia.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it often talks about matters of interest. For instance, Carol Hirschberg, who we've just spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
I did an interview with her on a radio show and uploaded that there. And, you know, we get a lot of interest on that blog. It's a way of, again, educating people.
Mm-hmm.
About the possibilities. And I think, if you know, I always like to say to people, walk in the field of all possibilities. I know when I didn't have any hope, in fact I would be dead by now had I not gone to Holland, what was left of my colon would have
mm-hmm.
exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the end of me. So I know what it's like to be in those shoes, like yourself, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get very creative. We
mm-hmm.
use our resources. We look outside the square and we walk in the field of all possibilities. And I hope that's what I can help people do
mm-hmm.
in navigating the cancer maze.
And nothing happens by chance.
No.
So
no,
there
no,
was
it
a
doesn't.
Reason why you went to the Netherlands. That was not an accident.
No, it was not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
This, I feel like there's been a very well laid out plan, but I didn't quite understand it at certain times and
mm-hmm.
thinking, what's going on? But, you know, like most patients, when you look back, you think, I've just had the most extraordinary life and this is the most extraordinary opportunity
mm-hmm.
That I've been given. You know, my current partner, actually, I also met in America
mm-hmm.
and discovered that he used to be my school teacher in
oh,
Australia.
Really?
So nothing happens by chance.
Right, right, right. Well, this has been very interesting, Grace, and I'm so happy to have been able to talk with you and to share this information with my listeners. I know it's going to be very helpful to them, and so I wish you the best in your continued journey and with your institute and with all of the work and great things that you're doing for mankind.
Thank you, Carl. It's been wonderful to connect with you. I'm glad you clicked that button on LinkedIn and met me. I'm very inspired by your story. I think it's a fantastic and wonderful story, and it must just go on helping people. And, yeah, you're amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye. Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the Spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood, that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary In Her Name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Cindy Nolte, is a Reiki Master Teacher, Animal Reiki Master Teacher, Karuna Reiki Master Teacher, Certified Hypnotist, Hypnotist Instructor certified by the National Guild of Hypnotists, Ginseng Jetsu Practitioner, Past Life Regression Hypnotist, and Integrated Energy Therapy Master Instructor. She offers to both humans and animal clients and has witnessed two miraculous healings with the help of Reiki for individuals suffering from cancer, one human and one dog. But all of the modalities she offers can be used in combination with traditional cancer treatment to assist the client in the healing process. More information is available at freshlookonlife.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Cindy, and I look forward to hearing about your experience healing leukemia with Reiki. Now first, tell us about your friend's son, Mike, and his leukemia.
You know, I received a phone call, and it's just one of those times when you know it was meant to be God's intervention, because the individual that I was talking to was interrupted with call waiting, with Mike's father calling her to let her know what the diagnosis was and how ill he was. And she came back on the phone, and I knew before she even spoke, just from her energy, that something had upset her. And she told me what his dad had said, and he was told that he should get his affairs in order. This was someone who really was young, very young, mm-hmm. and by the physician told, get your affairs in order, and there's nothing more I can do for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she said, I just don't know what to do. And she herself practices Reiki as well, but mm-hmm. when you're in the middle of the situation, it's sometimes very difficult to clearly see, you know, what you have at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the only thing we can do is we can offer him Reiki, and if he's meant to heal,
mm-hmm.
he will.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered distance. I never even saw him in person mm-hmm. for his Reiki treatment.
Mm-hmm. What treatments had he had prior to your working with him?
He had gone through chemo. He'd gone through other treatments,
mm-hmm.
Traditional treatments, and they said, there's just nothing we can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
He was given his six-week notice, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they had hoped to be able to give him a bone marrow transplant,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but he was just too ill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's then when you entered.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And then tell us what you did and how long.
Like I said, just mm-hmm. distance Reiki. I offered it on a daily basis because you can offer... I don't always offer someone traditionally Reiki daily unless they're very, very ill. And
mm-hmm.
in a case like this, obviously he was, and he was accepting of it. So I offered it daily. And I find that with any client, just getting out of the way and putting it in God's hand and letting it go to where it needs to go and
mm-hmm.
and letting the healing happen for whatever is dedicated to his highest good, I just got rid of my hopes and just offered.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only within a matter of a couple of weeks, I received it in the form of an
mm-hmm.
email.
Mm-hmm.
And I received the email, and I travel from client to client if they're too ill. I have my office, but I also travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that it was a friend's email coming through, and I read it before I went into a client's home. And I just felt the tears come to my eyes.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Because she let me know that there was no other reason, and he just turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to get the transplant after that point, and he recovered.
Mm-hmm. Did you use other energy modalities, or was it just the Reiki?
You know, I do offer other energy modalities as well, but at that point it was just strictly Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have you, Cindy, had similar successes with other people?
You know, ironically, I'm not to the degree
mm-hmm.
of mm-hmm. Mike. However, I had a similar success with a dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was... one of my very first animal clients. I had practiced on humans for quite some time and said, you know what, I want to fine-tune my skills for animals. I flew out to San Francisco on an animal sanctuary and fine-tuned him. And I had gotten an email really in the middle of the night. It was like 2 a.m. from a rather frantic pet parent
mm-hmm.
who said, do you think this could help? I am at an animal emergency hospital with my dog, and the veterinarian said that what's best is to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
And we spoke that morning at like 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's the situation? They said that the blood work stated that it was some type of cancer. They couldn't pinpoint where it was. The dog wasn't eating or drinking and very lethargic. I said, can you give me a quiet place with them? I'll come to the animal hospital, because they would not even release
mm-hmm.
the animal. So I showed up. We made a time. And I just sat, and I knew that he was accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's in God's hands now. Let me know how he does.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, mom and dad, doggy parents showed up, and the dog ran to them
mm-hmm.
and was able to be released that day
mm-hmm. mm.
with normal blood work.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, have you tried this with other cancer patients?
Other cancer patients have not been given the
mm-hmm.
sentence that these that these individuals had. Mm-hmm. I often use it in conjunction with other treatments, meaning it also with chemo. Mm-hmm. So I find that it does help with the symptoms that go along with the sicknesses with chemo.
Oh, it reduces the side effects?
Reducing the side effects, mm-hmm. helping them to stay well, helping them to keep their energy up.
Mm-hmm.
And, also just that positive, being able to stay in that place of healing
mm-hmm.
and not getting down in the blues that they often do.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, is there research on the benefits of Reiki with cancer?
I'm sure that there must be,
mm-hmm.
And I could probably come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I am concerned, because I'm not a doctor,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a
mm-hmm.
medical professional,
mm-hmm.
I'm just strictly
mm-hmm.
an energy worker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your diagnosis is. It's
mm-hmm.
all just a disharmony.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is just to offer the energy wherever it needs to go, to not even think about where it needs to go, but to get it out of
mm-hmm.
God's way
mm-hmm.
and let the healing occur for whatever is dedicated to the individual's
mm-hmm.
Highest good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if someone tells me they have a cancer diagnosis, anxiety, or what it is. It's a disharmony. And it's not up to me to even look at the label or to give one because, like I said,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a medical professional.
Mm-hmm. Then, Cindy, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your services and products?
You know, I find that one of the most important aspects of healing is looking at the whole person, body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell my clients and also my students to remember to be able to stay in a good place for their mind
mm-hmm.
and to keep their mind focused and to remember to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way with healing whatever needs to occur because healing doesn't only mean our physical bodies. It can mean our emotional, our spiritual, and even the world around us. There's so many individuals that have issues in their life that they're not pleased with, even if it's finances. And that's all just energy to me.
Right, right. Good. Well, then, will you tell us, Cindy, about your services and how the listeners can reach you and...
Absolutely. They can check out my website. It's freshlookonlife.com. And I offer an array of services. I really have just delved into energy
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
have so much fun learning. And I have so much fun telling others about it and offering them. So everything from animal Reiki to traditional Reiki and even hypnosis, integrated energy therapy, Jin Shin Jitsu, past
mm-hmm.
life regression.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is I also speak with each client or student before they either enroll in a class or sit down with me for an appointment because I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all, and there are many different ways that you can get to that inner knowledge that's within us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel I'm healing anyone. I feel it's with the help of God these
mm-hmm.
people are allowing themselves to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to put a lot of the onus, and I like to allow the person to also use their internal GPS because
mm-hmm.
when they're able to really tune in and be empowered to do so,
mm-hmm.
that's just a life changer for them too.
Great. Would you then give us your website again?
Sure. It's freshlookonlife.com.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I just wanted to thank you, too, for talking to me. You have great energy. You're just so kind.
Thank you. I appreciate this, Cindy. And it's been great talking with you. And do you have a phone number for people?
I do. It's 973-383-383. 6847, or they can email me, Cindy at freshlookonlife.com, too.
And the other thing I was going to ask, so you do it at a distance. They don't have
I absolutely do. Phone, Skype, email, you name it, because it's just energy doesn't know distance. So I have many clients who aren't even in this country or not uncommon for me to have a Skype appointment in California or Long Island or Canada or somewhere else. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate this very much, Cindy. I thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
And you too. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.